US President Donald Trump says he has told his negotiators not to rush into any peace deal with Iran, playing down hopes of an imminent breakthrough in the Middle East war. As part of a potential deal, the US wants to see the Strait of Hormuz reopened and Iran give up its stockpile of highly enriched uranium. But Iran has not publicly committed to doing so. For more than a month, the US has blockaded Iranian ports, and Donald Trump says the blockade will, quote, remain in full force and effect until an agreement is reached, certified and signed. So, is a deal a reality? Aaron David Miller is a former Middle East negotiator with the US Department of State and is now a senior fellow at the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace. I spoke to him earlier. Aaron David Miller, welcome to Radio National Breakfast.
Great to be here with you, Sally.
Over the weekend, there was a sense that a deal may be imminent. Where are we? What's happening?
I mean, I think you're probably closer than ever, but I've been around negotiations most of my professional life. It's not done until it's done. And U.S.-Iranian negotiations or Middle East negotiations tend to have two speeds, slow and slower. I suspect we'll know within the next 48 hours whether this is real or whether or not it's kind of a wash, rinse and repeat cycle.
Could that change in the next 48 hours or so, do you think?
Absolutely. I mean, a memorandum of understanding could easily, given the fact this is done, I won't say on the back of a cocktail napkin, but it's not done directly, right, between Iranian and U.S. negotiators. It's done through intermediaries. It's done on cell phones. That's not the ideal way to negotiate, particularly between two parties who fundamentally do not trust one another. So, no, I think there are any number of language and formulation gaps that could blow this thing up. It may be reasonable to assume that both sides don't want to go back to war. That doesn't mean they're by any means close to peace. But if, in fact, this succeeds, what it will have bought is a 30 to 60-day period in which you will test the proposition whether or not U.S. and Iranian desiderata, what they want in these negotiations, whether the gaps can be bridged.
And Aaron, what are the bottom lines here for the U.S. and also for Iran?
I mean, I think the bottom lines, the American bottom lines have basically dissipated. I mean, at the beginning, the war aims of the Trump administration was break the Iran's relations with proxies, Hamas and Hezbollah, no word of that. Caps on restrictions on ballistic missiles, no word of that. They wanted regime change. They didn't get that. And what they got, frankly, is Iran's weaponizing of geography and basically putting itself in a position where with a few drones and even verbal threats, they can stop shipping and tanker companies, insurance companies, from moving traffic through the straits. I think the Iranians are in no hurry. They believe they have all the leverage. And on the two issues that count, reopening the straits in exchange for ending the American naval blockade and doing something serious on enrichment, we're a long way from knowing whether or not, and I really don't like the word deal. Either you're going to have an agreement that is going to take weeks, if not months, to negotiate, or you won't have an agreement at all. Donald Trump likes the word deals. It's more applicable to a real estate transaction than it is to diplomacy. What you want is an agreement that reflects a balance of interest between the two sides. And frankly, you know, the U.S. isn't involved in a negotiation with Australia or Switzerland. It's a negotiation with a brutal, repressive, authoritarian regime that murders, imprisons, and persecutes, kills its own citizens in the thousands. So an American president doesn't have a whole lot of room to make major concessions to such a regime. So this is a narrow deal, Sally. Open the straits, maybe. Ease the blockade and end it, maybe. And then kick all the other issues down the road to see whether or not serious negotiations directly between the U.S. and Iran can turn this into a real agreement. I have my doubt.
If the U.S. had stuck with the original Iran nuclear deal, would we be in a better position now than we are?
Counterfactual, Sally, but I think, you know, I mean, I think the answer is yes. Since 2018, the JCPOA, the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, or the so-called Iran nuclear agreement, was a flawed but highly functional accord. Not everybody liked it because it didn't deal with ballistic missiles, it didn't deal with proxies, but it put time on the clock. And time on the clock is about all you can do with a regime that is determined to acquire a nuclear weapon. And nothing has changed in that regard. In fact, what you have is a regime that arguably could accelerate its efforts towards such a thing. My colleague at Carnegie, Karim Sajapour, says that Trump was looking for a Venezuelan-Iranian Delcy Rodriguez to make a deal with in Tehran. What he got was an Iranian Kim Jong-un a la North Korea. So, again, I think that had we stayed in the JCPOA, the Iranians would not have been able to enrich at various levels 11 tons of uranium. We only talk about the 900 pounds at 60%. You need 30 more percent to get to bomb grade, and you can do that in a matter of weeks. But the Iranians have 11 tons of the stuff, and they are no closer to giving up their nuclear infrastructure. That's the key here, and that's going to require the IAEA, right, the International Atomic Energy Agency, to come and do inspections, monitoring, verifications. This can't be done on the back of a cocktail napkin, and it's going to require an enormous amount of time. And I don't know with this regime, frankly, whether it can be done.
What has Iran learnt about the effectiveness of closing the Strait of Hormuz as a military and strategic tactic?
Yeah, I mean, it's horizontal escalation. They cannot meet the American and or Israeli military head to head. Instead of vertical, they went horizontal. They, and I mentioned before, in the Middle East, geography is destiny. It's destiny for good or for ill. Iranians knew they had this capacity. But I have to tell you, I was an intelligence analyst for 5 years out of the 27 I spent inside the U.S. government, State Department. Most of our assessments suggested, number one, Iran would not close the straits. Why? Because it would be economic suicide. And number two, if they did, the U.S. Navy, U.S. military could open them relatively easily. Well, both of these judgments, frankly, were flawed. And not only have the Iranians demonstrated that they can close the straits, they have demonstrated that proximity to the Gulf states means vulnerability for the Gulf states. And the Dubai model, we can sell security and stability to turn the Gulf into an economic, a cultural, a tourist entrepot. All that is now at risk. Again, I think in my mind, unless I'm missing something or the administration comes up with some fundamental result that is strategic, not tactical, this will have gone down as a strategic defeat for the United States.
Aaron David Miller, it's good to get your analysis back on the program again. Thank you so much.
Happy to be here with you virtually, Sally.